Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Rob Ford. You ready, Rob?
Oh, yeah. Where's our theme song, my brother?
Oh, it's coming up right now. Here we go. Oh, yeah. 12th Man is officially here. Talking sports. What?
Your time is up. My time is now.
You 12th Man.
My time is now. It's a
what?
Franchise where I'm shining now. You
worldwide.
Can't beat me. My time is now.
Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Today is Tuesday, October the 23rd. Thank you guys for adjusting to us, because I know we kind of switched nights on you guys going from Wednesday to now Tuesday. But we're very, very excited to continue the sports talk. For those that are joining in for the first time, I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. We got a packed show, as always. So without further ado, I'm going to say what's up to my co-host. How you doing today, Robert? You doing all right?
Man, I'm doing great, Doc. Excited about today's show. We got a little bit of baseball, a little bit of NFL, a little bit of NBA, and a little bit of college football. So we got a lot to get to. And, had a pretty busy couple of days, but I'm ready to talk some sports tonight. How's everything going in your world?
Everything is going great. Like you said, ready to chop it up. And let's jump right into what I said. As mentioned, for those that want to call into the show, give us your thoughts. The number to call to the show, which is toll-free, it's 424-243-9519. And also, if you can follow us via Twitter, we are at the number 12, TH Man Sports. And also, we're on Facebook, all that fun stuff. We got a lot of stuff. I got a text question, Rob, if we can knock that out as well. So we'll jump into this. But first and foremost, we're going to jump into some Major League Baseball news. Obviously, if you didn't know what's going on, Ozzie Guillen actually got fired by the Miami Marlins. So I guess talking about Fidel Castro is not going to help your cause, huh? You know, you can't play them, huh?
Well, you know, Ozzie Guillen has been a pretty controversial manager ever since he's been, a manager going back to Chicago White Sox days. And I actually think he's a pretty good manager, but he stays on the controversial end. And the Miami Marlins actually stepped up their payroll. They had the seventh highest payroll in the league this year. They just didn't quite cut it on the playing field. You know, over the years, they've been one of the least spenders of any team in Major League Baseball. And this year is one of those years where they actually stepped it up on payroll level and they expected great results, and they didn't get it. And so I guess the combination of them not performing and the combination of Ozzie Guillen and his controversial comments, the Miami Marlins just decided to part ways with them. So it'll be interesting to see who they bring in as manager of this team. This is an organization that they believe has a lot of potential. And Ozzie Guillen, it'll be interesting to see if he catch on with another organization. That would be interesting to see, because I do believe he is a pretty good manager. This year just wasn't this year.
Yeah, it's one of the situations, too, where, you know, there's certain guys you kind of know what you're getting. And if you get Ozzie Guillen, as you mentioned, he's a very controversial character. He's got a lot of personality, which actually I think is kind of neat, man, the fact that you have somebody that wants to add something to baseball, because baseball can be a little drab at times. But, him having that personality, obviously you got to know when to say the right things. But, you know what you're going to get. And as you mentioned, if he was a terrible manager, or terrible in the words of Charles Barkley, I'm sure he wouldn't get another job. But he has to. Maybe he'll be off for a year. Maybe do some commentating. But we'll see how what happens in the future for him too, for sure.
Good luck, Ozzie.
Good luck, Ozzie. I was waiting for you to kind of finish up. Let's talk about this. Being a Yankees fan, I'm surprised you even put this as one of the topics. But you actually made a note about the Red Sox posted a 2-year deal with David Ortiz. You want to kind of elaborate on this particular point, sir?
Well, yeah, it looks like he's going to agree to a 2-year, $25 million deal. And Ortiz had a pretty solid year this year, 23 home runs, 60 RBIs. He batted about .318, even at his age. That's pretty solid. And my question to you, is that a good deal for a guy at his age, or you think the Red Sox overpaid for him?
I mean, I think it's a good deal because, obviously, the American League, if you really get some, you can also have him as a designated hitter too. So, obviously you're kind of maximizing that. So, you know, he's been definitely the face of the, not the official face of the Red Sox, but he's been a pretty key member in that organization. So I think it's a good deal. I mean, I don't think he broke the bank, but, you know, I think it's one of those deals where 2 years, you know, if he decides to continue on, you're not, like you said, you're not kind of strapped, but, you know, it's a good way to kind of, you know, basically say thank you for a player that's been the face of that franchise for a while.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, in the American League, you still have the option as a DH if he's not getting it done in the field. And his bat, he's still swinging the bat very well. Once again, he had 23 home runs, 60 RBIs, and still batting about 318. So he's definitely a space for him on that ball club. I think it's a good thing keeping him, even though I'm a Red Sox hater. Sorry for you all in Boston, but I do love your clam chowder up there in Boston, the lobster bisque, the lobster rolls. I like all that up in Boston. I just don't like your baseball team. And you know, I'll come and visit, but I'm not going to root for your Red Sox.
Oh, man. You know, all my Red Sox fans, you know where to call in if you want to, like, share some love or some hate.
Oh, yeah.
So all is well. He's ready. He's ready. But
I'm ready for you, Red Sox fans.
Keep it coming. Keep it coming.
Save me some clam chowder when I come up.
Look at that. He's trying to make peace as he comes out, as he backtracks. Let's talk about the World Series predictions. Obviously, you know, you got the Detroit Tigers facing the San Francisco Giants. I'm pretty happy about this because I wanted anybody to beat the Cardinals after what happened to the Braves, but I'm not holding any grudge or anything like that. But this is going to be a very interesting World Series, and as much as I like the Giants, they're in for a monumental task because the Tigers have had one of the best ERAs going into the postseason. They've got a 1.02 ERA, and opponents are batting about 162 against that pitching staff. So that's one way definitely to win a championship. And obviously, I'd like to hear your thoughts, Robert, about how they handle the Yankees. Is that just a situation where the Yankees were getting older, or were they soundly kind of handling their business against a pretty good Yankees team?
Well, you know, this is a, as you said, an interesting World Series, and all of my predictions so far in the baseball playoffs seem to have been gone wrong. So every week I'm making new predictions. And so I'm sure whoever I pick tonight is not going to like the fact that I'm picking them because all of my baseball predictions have been way off so far in the playoffs. But, yeah, the Tigers just totally manhandled the Yankees. Yankees having a few issues, just didn't have the depth in the starting pitching of the Detroit Tigers, and it could be a little bit of age catching up with them too. A-Rod is not the same player, struggling a little bit. And but here's, I'm going to go with this, you know, a perfect World Series for me would have been a Giants against the Yankees. You know, the Giants are my National League team, Yankees American League team, but, you know, it didn't quite happen. So I'll be cheering for the Giants. And I'm going to actually pick the Giants to win this World Series, believe it or not. And here's the reason why. I think the Tigers have great starting pitching, and Justin Verlander is pitching out of this world, and, you know, not only a great season, but a great postseason as well for the Detroit Tigers. But here's the difference. When you're going up against a National League team, you have to have a great bullpen, and I think that's where Detroit struggles. National League teams will, you know, they will, you know, they'll prolong the game with singles and bunts and steals, and which will make a starting pitcher's pitch a lot longer, or they'll make them throw more pitches, which will hurt them from staying in the game a lot longer. And the Tigers' bullpen is not as strong as their starting pitching, and I think you're going to see the Giants get to that bullpen and, you know, pull some games out late in the series. And I like the Giants to pull this out, and I'm really picking with my head, not my heart.
Gotcha. Good deal, man. I'm not going to – I got a lot of family in San Francisco, so I have to pick the Giants just based upon those relationships, too. I think the Tigers may pull this out, but, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I'm going to go opposite only because of the fact that they showed me a lot in the postseason. I'm a big fan of the Giants, obviously, and – you know, like you said, we'll see how it plays out because that starting pitching cannot be denied. But moving forward.
We got a lot of listeners in the Bay Area, so I'm showing the Bay Area some love here, picking the Giants.
Week to week, Bay Area folks. For those that want to call into the show, the number to call in is 424-243-9519. As mentioned, we are on Twitter at 12th Man. show us some love, give us your thoughts, your feedback, anything you want to talk about as we kind of switch gears. And we're going to talk about a lot of, you know, like you said, Rob, we got a lot of interesting topics tonight. We're going to talk about some NFL here. And Maurice Jones-Drew has a sprained foot. He'll miss a lot of games. Do you think this is a situation where you kind of hear the rumors of somebody misses training camp, they get into the season kind of late, they always seem to have injuries? Is this kind of something you think that's going on with him? Or I don't know if you've heard about exactly the whole nature of his injury.
Yeah, it seems to never fail, especially at the running back position. When these guys hold out and come into camp or come into the season, first, second week of the season, it just seems like they're not quite the same, and they take a little while to get in the groove. I remember Emmitt Smith, you know, he held out 1 year with the Dallas Cowboys, and the Cowboys started off 0-2. He was really struggling. He finally got to a groove midseason. The Cowboys still went on and won the Super Bowl. This particular year I'm referring to, you look at Chris Johnson with the Tennessee Titans a couple of years ago. He held out, and he just couldn't get it going all year. And so we're having the same situation here with Maurice Jones-Drew. And that definitely could be a huge part. The Jaguars are showing some signs of improvement. They still have only won one game this year. But it seems as though Blaine Gabbert is getting better, even though he may even be out this weekend with injury. And so you would like to see this team, you know, they had an opportunity to go on the road and beat Oakland. Oakland came back and beat them in overtime. So this is just a tough break for an organization that's showing some signs of improvement with Blaine Gabbert, Maurice Jones-Drew. You know, they have Rashard Jennings backing up Maurice Jones-Drew. So this is a tough blow, and it looks like Maurice Jones-Drew is going to be out at least a couple of weeks.
Wow. Yeah, like I said, I kind of definitely agree with you as far as, you know, it's kind of tough for these running backs to always have these issues holding out. But I am not completely sold on Blaine Gabbert just yet. I mean, like I said, he's been playing well. I'm not saying he's the future for them just yet, and we'll see how that plays out. But for now, you know, we'll see. Because the way that the Jaguars are playing, they're just getting like a lot of bad luck and whatnot. They're definitely... between them and Cleveland on the way to becoming the team with the number one pick. But we'll see how everything plays out, as always. So, you know, it's always interesting to see how everything plays out. Now, let's talk a little bit more about, as we keep moving down the line, we'll talk about some more NFL stuff. And we're getting some questions. We'll get to those questions in a quick second, too. This is pretty big from your vantage point, sir. We're going to talk about the NFL Players Association. They have questions about Paul Tagliabue, his neutrality, with the bounty case, and I'm sure you're sick of talking about this, Rob, but I don't know if you had some insight about what's going on with this particular case, if you will.
Yeah, well, this is, once again, a story that just will not go away. This just seems like an ongoing battle here between the NFLPA and the NFL. And basically, as you probably know, and a lot of our listeners probably know, the NFLPA asked Roger Goodell to recuse himself. This was, I believe, a couple of weeks ago when they officially asked him, because they believed that he would not be fair in the process. And surprisingly, Roger Goodell did recuse himself from the case this past Friday, but he appointed former commissioner Paul Tagliabue. And so, in one sense, the NFLPA was happy with this. But in another sense, they're not happy with it. They're happy that Goodell recused himself, but they're not happy with who they appointed in his place. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Of course, you know, and a former commissioner, 9 times out of 10, is not going to rule against the current commissioner. And I think the main issue that the NFLPA is having with this, Paul Tagliabue actually works for the law firm now that's representing the NFL in this case with Jonathan Vilma. So the NFLPA is saying it's a conflict of interest here. And so now they're asking Tagliabue to recuse himself from this. And so they're looking for someone else to rule on the appeals on Tuesday of next week. So, you know, the NFLPA is obviously just looking for a fair process here, and they just still don't feel like they're getting that with the NFL. So it should be interesting if Tagliabue was going to step down, which means they're going to have to appoint somebody else to hear these appeals on Tuesday of next week, October 30th. So still an ongoing process, And I think this is going to be going on for quite some time. And I would be shocked. I would be shocked if this is settled before the end of the season.
Shocked, shocked. I can't believe that Robert Ford is actually showing the dictator some love. No, I'm just joking.
Who's that?
Showing the dictator. I thought you were showing the dictator some love, but I was making a quick joke.
Not quite.
Yeah. We don't want to put that out there. I got some good questions here I want to actually address. Somebody has texted me a question. Will we ever see Chad Johnson or Terrell Owens ever play in the NFL again, and are their careers officially over? So I don't know what your thoughts about that. Do you think this is are they over, or is there an outside chance of them ever playing again?
I think both of their careers are over, and, you know, both of those guys are great football players. I mean, of course, they're a lot of off the field, not necessarily bad off the field. They were just more locker room kind of things and things of that nature. And, you know, the incident with Chad Johnson and his ex-wife and things of that nature. But other than that, they've been really good football players and, you know, really good careers. They're probably going to be remembered for some things. You know, Chad Ochocinco and Terrell Owens will mostly be remembered for distractions, but they were really good football players. But I really do believe both of their football careers are over and they will not play in the NFL again.
Wow. So if you're the agent of Terrell Owens and or Chad Johnson, call us on the show. Let us know that your guys are still trying to work out and do some things too. So we'll see some pushes from the driveway or some sit-ups or something like that, for real. Keep it going, and I think this is a Skip Bayless question because this always seems to come up, and every time we try to get out of this, Rob, it always comes up. But another text question, will Tim Tebow ever be a starting quarterback in the NFL again? Do you think he's going to go to the Canadian Football League to kind of get a shot at playing, or what do you think about this?
Oh, I believe Tim Tebow will be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Uh-oh.
Will he be a great one? I'm not so sure about that. But I think, you know, at any moment, you know, I'm not wishing this on Mark Sanchez or anything like that, but at any moment he could possibly get hurt and Tim Tebow could be a starter of that team. And like I said, I'm not wishing that to happen, but he will be a starting quarterback for some team. It may not be the Jets, but he will. Some organization is going to give him a shot to be a starting quarterback. And I firmly believe that. I don't think he'll ever be a great NFL quarterback. He's going to have to be with a team that has a great defense, solid running game, similar to what he was with Denver last year, was able to win and take that team to the playoffs and win in the first round. So he's going to have to be that kind of team. He's not going to be the kind of quarterback that's going to put up Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees kind of numbers.
Backfield. So you heard it there. That was for Skip Bayless. He's actually happy that you actually answered that question too. So, you know. He just wanted to actually share the love, too. So good job, Rob. Those who want to call on the show, text us, tweet us, obviously. A lot of fun things going down. You can call us the show at 424-243-9519. And also, like I said, we're on Twitter. Show us some love at 12th Man Sports and also Facebook, too. And we're going to keep it going, Rob. We got about 11 minutes here. Let's kind of take a cessation. And do you have some time to do some fantasy shout-outs to talk about our fantasy basketball league as well as we get ready to kind of switch gears, if you will?
Yes. For those of you all looking to compete in some fantasy basketball, our draft is tomorrow night. We still have some spaces available. The draft is going to be at 8:15 Eastern Standard Time, 7:15 Central Standard Time. For those of you on the West Coast, that would be 5:15 Pacific Standard Time. But we definitely have some spaces still available here. Yeah, the league ID is the Yahoo Sports league ID is 48484. Password, all lowercase, is Ballers, B-A-L-L-E-R-S. Once again, the Yahoo Sports ID, 48484. Password, Ballers, B-A-L-L-E-R-S. We would love for you all to join us. We still have some space available. Like I said, the draft is tomorrow night, so we got to join, sign up quickly, and we would love to have you all to compete with us.
Good deal. Yeah. Hopefully, Robin, you actually post that on Facebook, too, as well, like you've done. So good job of putting that on our site as well.
And also, real quickly, just a few fantasy shout-outs here. Gentilly Hot Sauces. Man, every time I say that, I want to go get me a Hot Sauces po' boy. And I want to give him a quick shout-out for having the biggest victory in our fantasy football this weekend. And I want to say we have like the first, we have two teams that are leading the pack at 5-2. And that's Crazy Crew, Wayne DeGrange, and Mark Robinson, Black Belt. They're leading, they have the tie for the best records at 5-2 in the league. And I won't even say the Shark, Emmanuel Meyer, is also 5-2 as well. So I believe there's three teams at 5-2. So we want to give a quick shout-out to them. Thank you all for competing. And also our college football pick'em. And Andre, man, I'm starting to leave you in the dust, man. I'm pulling away here in the college football pick'em competition that we're in. And I'm just pulling away each and every week, man. I hate to rub it in on you, man, on worldwide radio here, but I'm going to do it to you. But no, just
joking.
Okay.
That's okay. That's okay. That's why we got to keep it going. Hold on. We got to grab this quick call real quick, too. I'm going to catch it, too. I'm going to make some fixes for you as well, too. So that's what it's all about.
Okay.
But,
let's
grab this quick call.
Who we have calling in here?
All right. Caller, you are on the air.
How you doing, Rob? How you doing? What's going on, Andre?
No, not too much.
Hey, how's it going? It's Corey, man. Corey Angeletti calling you, Rob. Hey, man.
Corey Angeletti, what's going on, man?
Hey, time, big man. I want to throw a quick one at you, man. I've listened to the show. I love the show. You guys are doing a great job. Just a quick question. What do you think about the NFL as far as this is the year of the rookie?
The year of the rookie?
Is this the year of the rookie? Would you call this the year of the rookie?
Well, I would say from RG3 standpoint, I mean, he's really having a real impressive season, and he's showing no signs of being a rookie. I mean, these guys look like a polished veteran out there each and every week.
Yeah,
you know, he's accurate with the football and his placements, and he's making real smart decisions. He's not on a complete football team yet, but once this kid is on a complete football team, and these Redskins has a bright future. With RG3 at the helm. And I would even say the same thing for the Colts with Andrew Luck. Not as mobile as RG3, but
right.
He's a smart football player,
right.
Throw the football. And I'm not that sold on Brandon Weeden in Cleveland, but I would say for RG3 and Andrew Luck, I mean, these two kids have a very bright future. I don't know if you want to add any comments to that as well, Andre.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and thank you, Corey, for the love for calling the show, too. But, you know, it does seem like the other because you got like, a lot of quarterbacks, especially that are making impacts, in addition to, like we talked about, they're kind of forcing the service, too. So, obviously, Trent Richardson, he was drafted pretty high. He's doing his thing. You know, Justin Blackman, he's kind of doing his little bit of his thing, too. So, you got a lot of guys that are actually impressing us. But none is doing this thing like, you know, RG3 because he's leading the NFL in completion percentage. So, you know, right here, he just doesn't have the mindset of a rookie. So we're actually impressed to see him grow, and a lot of great things going on too. So, you know, that's what I think. I added on to what Robert said too. So,
I tell you what, RG3 is going to be at the top of everybody's fantasy boards next year. I can promise you that.
yeah, that and the injuries too. Injuries seem like they're opening the door for a lot of cats to really get a shot on the grass.
Yeah,
a lot of guys get opening this year to, you know.
I'll tell you, Hot Sauces, man. Every time I see your name, man, I'll be ready to go get a Hot Sauces pole boy, man.
Thank you, Rob.
So, Corey, real quick. So, who do you think, who do you think is really impressed you as a rookie? Is it RJT that you think is kind of doing this thing, or is that the most impressive rookie that you've seen this year, or what?
I think he's the most noticeable one. You know, he's got a fan base already that's kind of huge, you know. I know a couple of family members, and I know some people that played with him in college. So he had a lot of eyes on him this year. And for the first time, I think, you know, a rookie really showed up game one, game two, game three, you know. Took this boy about a good 5 weeks to take a good hit and get down for a minute, and we saw what his heart was made of. He got up, you know. But like I said, the injuries are changing it for me. Because even like as far as like fantasy football, you never know who's going to connect. Third string guy that you don't know about, the guy for Pittsburgh that came in Thursday night. I mean, I forgot his name, but I couldn't even, you know, Redmond's gone, Mendenhall's gone. This guy comes in. Who is he? Nobody knew this guy. You know, you put up 80 plus yards. You know, an NFL game, your first time out, that's some impressive business right there, you know. Defense also, you got a lot of defenses are hurt, you know, not just Baltimore, but a bunch of guys are hurt. So, like I said, these injuries, man, to me, injuries are opening doors for a lot of cats. You don't know who they are, you know, unless you follow them in college, but they're just, you know, third stringers. You know, getting injuries, one, two, three guys are going down in one game. I like the Saints. I like the guy Josh Morgan. You know, I never knew that guy. I never heard his name before. You know,
yeah.
But because of the catch that that guy made, you know, break one, two tackles, spin, dive to the end zone. That was awesome, man. I think he won a lot of fans in that game. You know,
flip the guy over too.
Yeah, flip the guy over. You know, I'm looking forward to another 8 weeks of who knows what's going to happen. Man. You know, and that's kind of why I asked that question, man. I'm looking forward to see the guys that I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we still got a lot of exciting football left in the season, and both in reality and both in fantasy as well. So we've definitely got a lot of football ahead of us here.
Yeah, that's the good thing about the NFL, as you mentioned, too, because you never know what's going to happen, and that's why it's one of the best products on the field. You know, obviously, you know, we're big proponents of making sure that the players are safe and that you're going to protect the integrity of the game, which is what we want to see that as fans. We want to make sure that you're putting the best product on the field. So, you know, obviously, you know, whenever it's a long season, so whenever certain things happen, it kind of changes the dynamics of the league. RG3 made a point of saying, hey, I'm going to get out of balance a little bit more. He's learned. I'm actually impressed with him because he's learned something that Vic hasn't learned yet. You know, Vic keeps.
He's got to learn how to fly.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm actually impressed with him. You know, hopefully, you know, obviously looking at Cam Newton, he's kind of struggling this year because of that sophomore slump, and everyone's kind of figured out. Everyone's got tape on you. So you look at RG3, you say, hopefully he'll learn from the mistakes of other guys and actually be better. You know, so this is why this is very exciting to see the growth of a young guy. You know, obviously I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Andrew Luck, obviously. Certain quarterbacks have it, so hopefully these guys will actually do what they're supposed to do, too. So I don't know if you want to add on that, Rob or Corey, if you would have anything else, too, as we start wrapping up the show.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate the love, man. Continue listening to us. Keep calling in with some questions, man. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back on next Tuesday at 11 o'clock Eastern. We appreciate the love, Corey.
Yeah, thanks, Corey.
Right,
Gentilly Sausage,
yeah.
I love it. He's calling us in. Yeah, and we love Corey. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. That was awesome, man. The number that Corey called in was 424-243-9519. Just great to hear him actually add a couple things and just talk about rookies and kind of the impact that they have, too. And also not only fantasy, as you mentioned, Rob, but also for real life, too. So, you know, with Corey calling in, we're about 2 minutes left in the show, Rob. I guess we're going to set it up for next week, and we're going to talk about the OT portion because we do have to talk about some college games and also hopefully having the time to talk about our NFL top five teams as we get ready to go into the second half of the show. So I'll let you close it out, sir, and we'll talk about it next week.
We still got a lot to talk about. For those of you all, we do a 15-minute OT portion right after our live portion that you all can listen to on tomorrow or any day up until next week's show. So if you want to hear our comments on some NFL, we still have some NFL topics. We have some NBA slight preview on that. And we even have some predictions on a major college football game. So once again, if you're sitting at your desk eating lunch on tomorrow, want to have something to do, you know, go to blogtalkradio.com/12thmansports, and you can listen to our OT portion and get some great sports information. So we would love for you all to tune into our OT portion on tomorrow. But until then, join us next week live, Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Once again, we're going to have some great stuff to talk about, sports-related, NBA season kicking off next week. We still have NFL talk here. We got World Series talk. We got college football. We got a lot of things happening in the sports world, and we are on top of it. So make sure you join us on next week. I want to wish you all a great week. And, Andre, you want to wrap it up?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And
okay.
Who that nation knows about that?
Okay.
of the OT portion of the show, Rob. I hope you like the little ending to that too, Rob. That's what it's all about, man. Hopefully you got the last
love
part
it,
of that.
We got to keep that one up every week, man. I love it.
That was good. All right, well, let's talk about we're going to jump into the OT portion of the show. And let's talk about the NFL top five teams. Let's go through this pretty quickly because I want to talk about college football matches. We've got a lot of good games this week I want to discuss. And we'll talk about the 49er and Arizona team. So, and not to be biased, once again, you know the number one team is, T-Rob, Falcons, because they're undefeated. That's the reason why. That's what I'm going with.
Okay.
So they get knocked off the purse, Falcons number one. Number two, I'm going to change. I've got the Giants. I'm very impressed with what they did. This may be the same order that you have, but I'm impressed with them. I got the Packers number three, 49ers number four, and the Texans at number five, and I had the 49ers beating Arizona in that big game. What about you, sir?
Okay. Of course, it pains me to say this, but I got to put your Falcons number one, too. As you mentioned, they are 6-0, so you got to give credit where credit is due. And so they're definitely number one in the power rankings. I had the Texans back at number two. I was really impressed with them this past week responding. I was really impressed with the way they responded after losing to the Packers the week before. It was just a thrashing of the Ravens. And there were some people that were doubting the Texans going into that game, but I was really impressed with them. I really think they're a strong organization right now. I had them at number two. And the Giants at number three. And, I have them at number three. And they can be, I think talent-wise, they can be just as good as anybody in the league. But sometimes they can be a little wishy-washy in their play. But I still have them at number three. In the league. Number four, I got to go with the Chicago Bears. A lot of people don't realize this, but this is a 5-1 ball club. It's only lost one game. And I haven't seen the team in the league that's playing better defense than the Chicago Bears right now. They are impressive week in and week out. They're playing fundamentally sound defense. This is a team that you don't hear a lot of people talking about, but every time I see them play, I've been thoroughly impressed. And so this is a team I think a lot of people are sleeping on, is the Chicago Bears. Number five, I got to go with the 49ers here. And, their quarterback play is a little suspect right now, but their defense and their running game is keeping them in games. And I know the Packers are knocking on the door, but the Packers still have three losses, so I can't quite put them in the top five just yet. But I have the 49ers at number five.
Gotcha. Jay Cutler is definitely benefiting from a great defense. So I know he's got his little detractors, but there's certain guys I'm not a fan of, and Rob, you know who those guys are. So it's just, he's getting very, very lucky. So, having that great defense is definitely benefiting him. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm just saying I don't know if he has all the intangibles, but we'll see. You could get by with having a pretty decent defense, and get by with having an average offense. We'll not say that their offense is average, but we'll say that plays out too. So, sorry, Jake.
I'm also picking the 49ers to go on the road and beat the Cardinals on Monday night as well. That's the only NFL matchup with two teams with winning records, but I think the 49ers go on the road. I think the Cardinals are getting into a little slump right now. And I like the 49ers. So San Francisco or Bay Area, I'm showing y'all a lot of love on the show tonight. Show us some love.
Only week to week, folks. We'll keep it going here. Let's jump into some college football. We got a lot of big games to discuss. And I think last week, man, was pretty interesting because I think we had some differentiating views for a couple things. So I got to show some love, man, for my pick for KSU and for Florida. And good job for you, obviously, picking LSU is always sticking around with them. But let's talk about this week. There's a big game, number two Florida versus number 10 Georgia. Florida is a 7.5-point favorite or 7-point favorite in this game. Who do you think or who do you predict to win this game, sir?
Well, I tell you what, I have to go to the Florida Gators on this. This is one team I've been, I guess I'm somewhat surprised. I didn't think they would be this good this year. But they are this good. They're probably playing as good a defense as anybody in the SEC. And I mean, including Alabama and LSU. And, I think Will has done a phenomenal job turning their program around. They're really strong on the line of scrimmage. I don't think Georgia can compete with them in the trenches. And I think Georgia has a lot of talent in the skill positions. But I think Florida wins this game in the trenches. And I know we have a lot of listeners in the area. I may not want to hear this here.
Yeah, like I said, I agree with you wholeheartedly because I had a good friend of mine. He's a pretty big-time Georgia fan, and he's pretty close to the program, too. And you said it, that's the key, in the trenches. I don't know why they have not decided to address, you know, getting these kind of, not to say that they're not the best offensive linemen, but they're not dedicated to getting those monsters at the offensive line and in the trenches and the defensive lines, too. I mean, they're getting some good players on the defensive side, obviously, but, you know, that's where it's won. And Florida, like you said, they're playing well. They have a lot of confidence. They just put a butt-kicking on South Carolina. I didn't expect that with the, what was it, 44-11 or something crazy like that. So didn't expect that. So they're riding high, playing a lot of confidence. I think they're gonna handle the business. I don't think it's gonna be that much of a beatdown, but I think it's gonna be a close game for us and actually pull it out, probably within 7 points too, like you said.
Yeah.
I
think Georgia's underachiever, Mark Rick. I really believe that too.
You think that what, Rob?
I believe I think Georgia is also underachievers on Rick. I don't think he coaches that team up in big games that well as well.
Oh snap! Little shot being fired. We'll see how that plays out too. I mean, that's definitely been a lot of talk about Mark Rick's future at Georgia too. But the thing is, you got to think of who's going to replace him. So we'll see how that plays out. Obviously, but very very interesting if what happens at the end of the season too. So. Let's talk about another pretty big game, number 14, Texas Tech at number 3, KSU, Kansas State, if you will. Kansas State is a 7-point favorite once again. This is at home, and I'm leaning towards – I'm just a big fan of Bill Snyder. So whatever he does, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm going Kansas State all the way that they were very impressive. We talked about that stat versus West Virginia. With, I think the stat was like 37.3, and that defense was giving up so many points. So I just like this team. I think they're a very great team to watch.
I agree. I think Kansas State is really strong, and this is another team that a lot of people didn't think would be this good prior to the season. Bill Snyder has done a phenomenal job thinking they can compete for national title and be in a national championship game down in Miami. This is an impressive ball club. I would be here against Texas Tech.
Yeah, and if you if you're like a Georgia Tech fan too, you're kind of like, and this is just kind of a side note. I'm kind of, and I know, I'm sorry, I got to talk about this too because I've been looking at Kansas State. They're kind of the blueprint because they do different varying offenses. They do some triple option, they do some spread, just a great use of talent. I think that this team is very well coached. We talked about before, if you have good coaching, sometimes you overcome great players. But you know, like I said, being a great fan of Bill Snyder, do your thing, sir. Another big, big game, and we'll see how Robert leans because I think Robert knows how I feel. We've got number 5, Notre Dame, that impressive defense, at Norman, Oklahoma versus number 8, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, surprisingly, is a 10-point favorite in this game. I'm going to defer to you, Rob. What do you think about this particular matchup?
Well, I know you and I both talk about Bob Stoops in big games, just as I just talked about Mark Rick in big games. But this is one I'm going to go Oklahoma. I think I've been really impressed with the way Oklahoma's played since losing to Kansas State early this season. And they have been really strong here the last 4 or 5 games. And I like them to beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame is winning, but they're not winning pretty, and I think they're primed to get beat. And I like Oklahoma in this matchup.
This is a very interesting game because I don't think Notre Dame has had a chance to go against a great quarterback like a Landry Jones. He has great wideouts. Everett Golston, I want to say. Hopefully I'm pronouncing it. I'm thinking the quarterback that just came back from his concussion. I think he's coming back. He's a redshirt freshman. This is going to be a tough game for him. But I think if he can avoid turnovers and he has a different look because I don't know if Oklahoma's faced anybody as athletic as him. So, I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence on this game, too. I'm kind of leaning towards Notre Dame only because I'm a big fan of defense and, you know, I'm not a fan of Bob Stoops. So, you know, I wouldn't put my last, you know, gambling dollars on Bob Stoops. Not that I gamble, but I'm saying, I'm just, you know, you still got to show me. So we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, we'll see, Rob. I'm always against that. So, you know, it is what it is. Finally, the game we got is number 11, Mississippi State, at number 1, Alabama. Believe it or not, Rob, Alabama is a 24.5-point favorite in this game. Are they going to win by 24 points?
Well, I'll tell you what, I like Alabama in this game, but I don't think they cover. And so I'm going to give you a little secret of how I'm picking that game this weekend. I like Alabama to win, but I don't think they because Mississippi State team is pretty good. They're not Alabama good yet, but I think they it's going to be a little closer than the spread. And but I like Alabama to win the game. Mississippi State, I really don't think one of these teams played a tough opponent. And I still like Alabama to pull this one out.
Do you think by 24 points, though? You think they're going to win by that many?
No, I don't think Alabama will cover the spread.
Wow. All right, like I said, we'll keep an eye on that, man. That's going to be very, very interesting, sir, because it's a lot of love for Alabama in the in a lot of the obviously ESPN and national pubs and stuff like that too. And like you said, they're the team to beat right now. Nick Saban is riding high, and we'll see if anyone actually has the opportunity to actually beat them too. So it's been interesting, I would say for sure. I guess Rob, as we get ready to wrap up the show, we've got about 4 minutes or so. I don't know if you want to kind of table the stuff about the NBA or if you want to kind of jump into that yet or what do you want to do? We have about 4 minutes, so I'm going to leave it up to you, sir.
We got 4 minutes to burn, so I would say that's with the NBA season starting on next Tuesday here. We got a fantasy basketball draft, and real quickly, if we can make our Western, Eastern, and NBA predictions, I'll go ahead with mine here really quickly. And I'm looking out west, so looking at Lakers, Oklahoma City, Western Conference Finals. I've wrestled with who's going to win this, but I'm going to say the Lakers is going to pull it out. And in the East, I think you're going to see the Heat and the Celtics again for the Eastern Conference Finals. I know some people may say the Celtics are getting old, but I like some of the other moves they made, have some depth to their roster. So I still think they're good enough to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I still don't think they'll beat Miami. So I'm looking at a Miami Lakers finals. I think NBA fans have been waiting for this LeBron James versus Kobe in the finals. But I think in the end, it's LeBron's time right now. It's his season. And I think the Heat will win the world championship again.
I think David Stern's going to have something to say against that. Robbie is going to figure out a way to put the New York Knicks in there somehow. I'm just joking. Oh, man. I hate to agree with you, man. I'm still kind of holding out hope versus Oklahoma City, but I saw some preseason with Dwight Howard, and it was just like Lob City all over again, man. Dwight Howard adds so much to that offense if he stays healthy. Steve Nash is doing his thing. They got a floor general. They got a really, really veteran team. Antoine Jameson. I'm not saying that they're kind of like adding players just to get the championship, but they look like a very, very tough team. So right now, I'm changing my pick to agree with you to say it's going to be probably a Lakers-Heat finals. I'm not quite sure as far as the East. I think I'm going to go more towards the Heat and the Bulls. And I think the Heat are going to actually pull that out. But that's just me. So, I'm trying to go against hope. I know the Celtics are old. You like the addition of Jeff Green. You like what's happening with adding Jason Terry. And you like the growth, obviously, of Rondo. I just don't know if they're going to have enough. They're getting old. I mean, they still got to prove something to me. But that's just kind of how I feel it's going to play out. So, there you go.
Well, that sounds good, man. So you, the Heat and the Lakers, who you guys winning the finals?
Yeah, it's gonna be the Heat.
Yeah.
And that would be actually a pretty good season, a pretty good series to watch. If you're the NBA, you're all in on that one. You got a lot of stars. You got Dwayne Wade. You got LeBron, Bosh. You got Nash. You got Kobe. You got Dwight, Paul Gasol. I mean, Jameson. That's kind of must-see TV. So you got a lot of stars to watch that. So for the NBA, thumbs up on that particular series.
Real quick, we need to wrap up our show. People, join us on Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. Good night, world. We enjoyed talking with you all, and join us next week for some hot topics. And Andre, anything you need to say?
Just want to say thanks to Corey for calling in. We love that. Thanks for the questions. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah. Good night, world.